Hello and welcome back to the Bridging the Gap event to hear from keynote speaker Lindsay Hughes, Director of Research and Engagement in the Innovation, Research and Life Sciences Group and Accelerated Access Collaborative at NHS England. Lindsay explains how the Accelerated Access Collaborative is supporting innovators and how it has a strong focus on addressing health inequalities.
Okay, so thank you so much for inviting me to speak this afternoon. This is my first Bridging the Gap event, and I'm delighted to be here in Liverpool with you today. I have to say, echoing Mike's sentiments early, I am a Northern Lass from the other side of the Pennines, but I am still a Northern Lass, so it's great to be here today. I'm going to spend my time talking to you about the Accelerated Access Collaborative this afternoon and the work we do to embed innovation and research into the NHS and support support through our programmes in terms of the offer to innovators, which actually is developed so that we can deliver against some of the really key strategies for economic growth in the life sciences sector, particularly the life sciences vision. So a short introduction to the AAC. We are an umbrella organisation that brings together the health, innovation and research ecosystem in a unique partnership to streamline the adoption of innovation into the NHS. So you'll see here on the slide the member organisations or the partner organisations of the AAC, the HSN network being a key partner within that. Our board is chaired by Lord Darcy, and our CEO is Matt Whitty, and the CEOs of all those partner organisations make up our board. So you can see it's quite a powerful convening board. The AAC is hosted by NHS England, and we kind of sit here with kind of two hats on because we're NHS England and we're the AAC, and all our delivery teams sit within NHS England. So the power of this unique partnership enables us to remove barriers and work across the NHS with innovators to more quickly adopt clinically and cost-effective innovations. And just to be clear, when we talk about innovations, we include medicines, diagnostics, devices and digital products. Equally importantly, part of the work we do at the AAC and part of my portfolio is to ensure that actually the research and innovation that is being developed in the system is actually meeting the needs of patients and the NHS. Now, you may look at this slide and say, well, you're painting a really rosy picture there, Lindsay, and it's not all okay, is it? And you know, Phil outlined some of the real significant challenges that we've got. And I should say that no one underestimates those challenges that we're facing. But we know that if we come together as a system, we can do it. So we heard this morning from Mark about how actually using innovation and using his systems within COVID really made a difference to patients and patient outcomes, but also helped support the actual system itself in terms of making sure that we got the efficiencies and actually that we were helping the NHS to function. We should also say that none of us would be sitting in this room today if it wasn't for research and innovation, if we didn't have vaccines, if we didn't have a treatment for COVID. So we absolutely can do this, and the system did come together. And I think we need to really think about this post-COVID kind of world as being equally as important to drive us to work together as a full system. So our work sits across five priority areas that you can see outlined here. And embedded into those priority areas are three cross-cutting priorities. Putting the patient first and at the centre of everything that we do is vitally important. We have a PPI team within the AAC and IRLS, and we have a PPI strategy that we developed for the AAC. Addressing healthcare inequalities, Phil talked about that this morning, and make no apologies for talking about it again, and I'll come on and talk about it even more in a few slides because it is so vital that we actually understand what we've learned from the pandemic and how that shone a light on the really drastic health inequalities that we've seen and how we need to address those. And then we've also talked about sustainability and supporting a net zero NHS. Again, really important to highlight today because that actually is going to make a significant difference in terms of the work that's going on within the NHS around procurement frameworks, etc. And you really need to be aware that that will be a significant ask of people bringing their innovations into the NHS. Each of these priorities is aimed at improving outcomes for patients, but also making the NHS attractive for industry to work with. So you'll see here we've got priorities around research. Really important that we increase the diversity of people participating in research, but that we also think about how we make it as easy as possible to undertake research in the NHS, because we want to attract global pharma. We want to attract global companies into the NHS. We want to bring those technologies and treatments to patients as quickly as possible and work with our commercial partners. We absolutely need to think about our workforce and how we support them. We heard again this morning about Medicom and how that supports the workforce in the NHS to generate their ideas and then take that to industry. And a lot of our programmes in the IRLS and the AAC are also thinking about how we actually support frontline innovation. So just a couple of examples there. Underpinning everything that we do is the alignment to the key strategies both the NHS and the government have produced. Some of you may be aware of some of these, some of you may not be as familiar. But we've got the NHS long-term plan, we've got the life sciences vision, and maybe less familiar to this audience, but I may be making assumptions, is what I'm going to call the kind of UK clinical research vision, because it's got a really snappy title that, you know, just don't keep repeating. The five priorities that we've just described are directly targeted to deliver against these strategies and to make the NHS the best place in the world to develop and deploy new technologies. We've got a new government. Indications are that health and wealth and the importance of the life sciences and economic growth remains a high priority for government, and the AAC continues to be well positioned to deliver on that agenda. So you may say, well, that's all very well, Lindsay, but what do you actually do? So to deliver on these agendas, the AAC programme spans the whole of the research and innovation pathway from ideation to adoption and spread, and then also procurement into the NHS. The programmes and the partnerships that we've got across the AAC not only support individual products and individual innovators, and we heard this morning, great to have SBRI Healthcare name checked. I think I heard somebody talking about the Clinical Entrepreneur Programme over lunch. So we've got real direct support in terms of products and innovators. But we are also looking across our programmes and thinking about what are the barriers and blockers as we look across a pathway. And then how do we influence and develop policy to remove those? And we can only do that as an AAC. We can sit in NHS England and think we might need to do this, but we need NICE. We need MHRA on board working with us. And that's a really good example of how we've been working across the MedTech pathway. So our MedTech Life Sciences team have been mapping that pathway for the past about 6 months now and starting to think about where are the blockers, where are the areas that we can accelerate, where are the areas where we do really need policy change to make sure that we can accelerate innovation into the NHS. And I know that procurement and commissioning is a big issue, and that is something that we've actually been talking to our Chief Commercial Officer at NHS England about, to understand what we can do to make that as easy as possible and as efficient as possible. So I spoke earlier about the focus of all our work on addressing healthcare inequalities, and I just wanted again to stress the real importance of this. As a team, we're working really closely with the NHS England Healthcare Inequalities Improvement Team, another snappy title, to ensure that our programmes align with the Core 20 Plus 5 framework. Now, you may be familiar with this. For those of you that aren't, I thought I'd just run through it very quickly just so that we explain where that kind of language has come from. So the Core 20 is the most deprived 20% of the national population identified by the Index of Multiple Deprivation. The plus is the additional population identified by local systems, so ICSs, that are experiencing poorer than average access, experience and outcomes based on their population health data. And then the five are the five clinical areas that Phil outlined earlier. And these have a specific area of focus, along with smoking cessation, which was added into the framework, I think, about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. So we are committed as the AAC to look through the lens of health inequalities in everything that we do. And it's really important, again, I think, to just stress that, because those are the types of questions, if you're looking for funding, if you're looking for some of the support through some of our programmes and through the HSN network, etc., people are going to ask, how are you mitigating against and how are you addressing health inequalities? Specifically, to think about what we can do as the AAC working with our partners, so working with the Health Inequalities Improvement Team, but specifically with the HSN network, we've developed a new programme of work this year, which is, again, the snappily titled Innovation for Healthcare Inequalities Programme, or INHIP. And this is asking our partners at the AAC to work with their local systems to identify proven innovation that can really address the ICS's priorities in relation to their health inequalities and thinking about what their core 20 plus 5 looks like. And we're really wanting to enable accelerated and equitable access to innovations for populations that are suffering from health inequalities across these five areas. We won't be expecting each HR centre to be working across each of those five areas with their ICS's, but we should cover the whole gamut of that. This is a universal offer, so every HSN is reaching out to their ICS to understand how they can support through this. And this year we've got £100,000 of funding per ICS to support implementation for this work. I spoke about another key priority for us, which is the net zero agenda. So we are, again, as the AAC and as IRLS, committed to supporting the ambitious target of the NHS being carbon net zero by 2045. And we're working in partnership with the Greener NHS team at NHS England to deliver greener research and innovation. We should point out that, as I alluded to earlier, NHS procurement now has a new supplier roadmap, and there are requirements around the inclusion of net zero and social weighting in all procurement. That is a staggered approach, so for certain companies that has come in already, and for smaller SMEs, I believe it's coming in about 18 months, but be aware of it because it's absolutely going to make a difference in terms of having those conversations and that procurement journey. What we're doing as the AAC then is thinking about our programmes and starting to think about, so what criteria do we need? What questions do we need to be asking? What are our performance metrics? So that we can actually mirror that and make sure that what we are delivering in terms of innovation and research is actually also supporting that agenda. Hand in hand with that, we're also working specifically with the HSN network, and I think Yorkshire and Humber are the lead for this, aren't they, Phil, in terms of the sustainability, to understand what support that innovators need. What guidance do you need? What support do you need? How are we helping you calculate carbon reduction, reduction in carbon emissions? is that going to fit with what NICE might ask for in the future? So we're very, very cognizant that we need, again, to work as a system across the AAC to enable us to deliver this and support the community to deliver this. So the final programme I'm really excited to talk to you about today is our new NHS Innovation Service. So I don't know if you're aware of this service, but it launched into public beta about a month ago. It's been working in the background in private beta, and we've had different innovators working with us to support that private beta, but it is now live. If you pop that into your search engine, or if you Google NHS Innovation Service, you will find this service. And it's a new information and support service for innovators. It provides access to information and, really importantly, a new, uniquely coordinated support offer. So, you can register your innovation on the service via the web portal. And after answering a short questionnaire, which is then assessed by our colleagues at the HSN, so the HSN network is providing a needs assessment service for us here, you can then be connected to the most appropriate organisation to support you in development or adoption of your innovation, dependent on where you are in that journey. And that would be part of the needs assessment in terms of the information that you're asked for. All this is done within the platform. So there's a single record of your innovation and the support that you've received and the advice that you've received from the support organisations. And all those organisations can view that information so they absolutely understand where you are, what's happening, and where we might need to take you next. The support innovations that, support organisations that are on there are NIHR, NICE, MHRA, the AHSN's supply chain, NHS England Specialised Commissioning, so if you're playing in that part of the commissioning world, DIT, Health Technology Wales, Life Sciences Hub Wales, and the Scottish Health Technology Group. So a real wide support offer there. It doesn't cover everything, and the team are starting to work to understand where there may be some gaps or where that cover needs to be strengthened. But I'd really recommend, if you've got innovation and you're looking for support to be able to deploy that in the NHS, that you have a look on the service. The information guides are really top-notch, and they're updated on a regular basis. There are also case studies on there of people who've used the service, how they've used the service, and what benefit it has brought to them. So, I've described in detail a lot of the work that we do, and what I want to just close with is the impacts that we're having. So, you'll see here from the slides, and I don't really want to read out all the figures here, but you'll see here we are working so that over 500,000 patients are accessing our innovations, and that's across over 700 sites. We're making a difference in terms of health and wealth and economic growth, in terms of jobs created and savings in year, working with a significant number of innovators and support through our partners as well. And then equally thinking about the benefits to patients and the benefits to the NHS in terms of time out of hospital and fewer clinical visits. So I just want to finish on the reason that I do this anyway, that what gets me out of bed in the morning is to make a difference to patients and to understand the impact of the work that we have. So I'm just going to leave you with this quote from one of our patient partners on the impact of the work that we've done to support her and on her life. And then I'm happy to take any questions.
Thanks to Lindsay Hughes of NHS England and the Accelerated Access Collaborative. And if you'd like to find out more about the recently launched NHS Innovation Service, the website address is innovation.nhs.uk. Thank you for listening.